I don't normally get to teach in the Sunday school hour. Pastor Humphrey is always teaching, and that's a blessing, but it is a blessing for me as well to be able to take it this morning. And we're going to continue with our theme of missions. If you're a guest here this morning, we've been on the theme of missions throughout the entire month of May, and every service, every message, every Sunday school lesson on the subject, in some capacity, on missions. And we're focusing on missions leading into our missions conference, which starts next Sunday morning. And so it's been a blessing all of this month to focus on this again. And it tunes our hearts, it prepares our hearts for the conference. And this is so easy to happen, especially with all of the other things going on. There's so much physical stuff that we prepare for that we forget to mentally and spiritually prepare our hearts. And you know, you get into a missions conference and it takes half of a week, you know, for things to tune in, and we shouldn't do that. We need to come ready, and we need to come prepared spiritually and our heart open to letting the Lord have His way in our life. And I would challenge you, even this morning as we begin the Sunday school hour, throughout this day, you need to be on purpose about opening up your mind and your heart to the Lord speaking to you. And there might be something that the Lord chooses to speak to you about that you have not really paid attention to. And it might be something that the Lord just opens your mind to or convicts you about. And you need to be on purpose about responding to the Lord when He speaks. And so that's the challenge this morning as well. We're going to talk about faithful giving and a faithful God. Certainly, we have not broached this part of missions yet throughout this month, and the issue of giving and faith promise. And we practice faith promise here at Black Road Baptist Church. I'm going to have those percentages and those numbers for you of where we're at in this year already. And it's a blessing. Praise to the Lord for your faithfulness. And we need to ask the Lord to keep continuing to grow our faith for the purpose of the gospel being able to go to the regions beyond. And we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. But I want you to look in Philippians chapter 4 with me, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 19. So follow along as I read Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Little context of Philippians. Philippians sort of is really like a thank you letter, a thank you note, but in a letter form to the church at Philippi. And it's the Apostle Paul writing, of course, back to the church, thanking them for their faithfulness in giving and supporting the work and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Before we get into all of that kind of stuff, Philippians 4:19 is probably one of the most common verses in the Bible, even one of the most well-used verses in the Bible. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Maybe one of the most well-known and most favorite quoted verses by all of Christianity. And it's a comforting promise, to be sure, that God will take care of our needs. But most of the time, people claim it and apply it to just about any situation that they might face where they feel like they're lacking in something. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But in the context of this verse, its application is actually very specific. And you can't divorce verse 19 from the context that goes before it. And it's actually a promise that is given to people who had given faithfully and generously to the work of the Lord, to whom Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Again, our text here this morning, it's like a thank you note that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi who had given so sacrificially to meet his needs. And in it, Paul here gives us one of the most comforting promises in all of God's Word, that God is faithful to supply and meet your need. But if we meet the same conditions to which Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, giving faithfully in the work of the Lord, we can claim that same promise from our Heavenly Father. And so what is faithful giving? We're going to talk about faithful giving and a faithful God. What is faithful giving? Well, there are many more principles than the ones that are found here, but I want to just point out four things here that I would like for us to examine this morning in the time that we have for our Sunday school hour concerning a faithful giving and a faithful God. Let's pray and we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our Sunday school time and the teaching of God's Word, and Lord, that even again you would remind us of these principles and these truths, and Lord, that we would understand we can never outgive God. We can understand that you've actually commanded us to faithfully give, and Father, that we would understand that there's a direct connection between our love for the Lord and our giving to the work of the Lord. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen your people again, challenge us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to consider the principles for faithful giving. The principles for faithful giving, you're taking notes, you can write that down. And I think you should if you have the opportunity to. We should always hide God's word in our heart. The principles for faithful giving. Number one, faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish in the Christian life. Let me say it again. Faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish in the Christian life. If you look at verses 15 and 16 of our text, Paul says this to the church at Philippi. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul commends the Philippian church here by reminding them of how at the very first preaching of the gospel, after he departed from their region, which was Macedonia, Paul went from Philippi down to Thessalonica. And Paul says that no church communicated with him concerning giving and receiving, but the church in Philippi, they shared with him in the matter of giving and receiving. At that point, they were the only church that took the initiative to send support to the Apostle Paul. Even when he was still in Macedonia and Thessalonica, more than once they sent to the Apostle Paul. Apparently, though, their support wasn't quite enough to provide for full support, because Paul actually reminds the Thessalonians that when he was with them, he had worked with his hands to provide his needs when he was there. Go to 2 Thessalonians, hold your place here. Just go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7. "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." Paul reminds them that when he was with them, they worked, they labored with their hands to provide their needs. But at the same time, it was the church in Philippi that was sending once and again unto their necessity, to their needs. But the point is that right from the start, Paul says in the beginning of the gospel, when he was with them in Philippi, right from the start, the Philippians had given to support the work of the Lord. Paul taught everywhere that he went, that it was proper for a man who labors in the gospel to receive his support from the gospel. He says that to the church at Corinth. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, hold your place here in Philippians chapter 4, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He says the same principle to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'll just read it to you. 1 Timothy 5:17. Paul says to Timothy here, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, my point in making a mention of all of this is that Paul must have taught these same principles to the Philippian church early on in their existence as a church. This church was not very old at all. In fact, they were quite young. But the time that Paul spent with them, he must have taught these principles to them and the importance of faithful giving to support the work of the ministry for the gospel's sake, because they sent once and again unto his necessity when no other church was. Soon after he left town, they sent unto him for his needs. And they were not very old in the Lord at all, but they were already practicing faithful giving. And the principle here is that faithful giving should be one of the very first things that we establish early on in our Christian life. Let me make some applications here. Why is giving so important? Why is faithful giving to the work of the Lord such an important thing and a matter of degree and importance even with the Lord? Number one, reason number one is because giving demonstrates my love for the Lord. It is a direct demonstration of my love to God. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. What is the proof and demonstration of God's love toward us, which is immeasurable? It's that he gave of himself. In 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says that we know that God loves us. Why? Because he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we perceive the love of God. It's in giving. Sacrificial giving. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. It is the ultimate proof of our love. God is a giver. God is a giver. He's the author of it. And he gave us physical life. And the Bible says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. Have you expressed thanks to the Lord for the benefits that he's given you today? Today, already. He has loaded you and me with all kinds of benefits. Every one of you I see this morning, and I see you because I've been blessed of the Lord to have physical sight. Just the fact that I can see you and acknowledge you is a benefit of God. The fact that you're all sitting here and breathing is a benefit of the Lord. That you had strength to get out of bed this morning. That you had a car you could drive. Some of you walked to church. You had strength to be able to walk. That's a benefit from the Lord. Daily, he loadeth us with benefits. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, the Bible says. Great is his faithfulness to us. And if we stop and think for just a moment, all the things that we take for granted day by day. I mean, how much have we taken for granted already this morning? I know it's true. And if you're honest, you'll sit and think that that is true. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your benefits that you give to me. God is a giver. He gives us physical life daily. He loadeth us with benefits. But more importantly, He gave His only Son so that we might have spiritual life. John chapter 3 and verse 16, I already quoted the verse, but it shows us the connection between loving and giving. You can give without loving, but I don't think that you can really truly love without giving. Think on that for a second. That applies not just monetarily, it also applies physically in your daily life. You can give without loving, but I don't think you can actually love without giving, because that is the very definition of love, sacrifice, and giving for the betterment of someone else. Why is giving so important? Well, it's a demonstration of my love for the Lord. This is something that should be established so early on in our Christian life. I'm telling you, there are people that I know of, people I've heard of, who their entire Christian life, they struggle with this issue of giving. They're so tight-fisted and with their pocketbook, and even tithing is a problem. Even tithing is a struggle to faithfully, consistently give to the Lord, which it's a direct command from the Lord, but it's such a struggle for them. And the reason is because God does not have their heart, because if He had their heart, then He'd also have their pocketbook too. How could I not give back to the Lord what's already His to begin with? For just out of the fact that He has done so much for me in giving me spiritual life and daily loading me with benefits. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People struggle financially throughout their life. But so often, there's a direct connection between their faithfulness to the Lord in giving and their financial situation in life. Not always, but many times there is. And I've said this so many times. We are so much better off with 90% of our income and God's blessing in our life than the whole 100% in trying to figure it out and do what we want with it. We are so much better off with 90 and God's blessing, because God promised so many things to us in relationship to faithful giving. But the bottom line of it all, it's a reflection of how I love the Lord. Reason number two, why is giving so important? Reason number two, because giving draws me closer to the Lord. Giving draws me closer to the Lord. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where I put my money, where I put my time, where I put my efforts, where I put my thinking, where I put my life, that's where my heart will be. So where do I really want my heart to be? Are you thinking about, are you got your thinking caps on here? Are you tuning in and connecting here this morning? Where do I want my heart to be? People say all the time, "Oh, I want to be close to the Lord. Oh, I want to be close to the Lord in my life. I want to love God." People say that all the time. What's the proof of it? It's not the words we say, is it? Giving draws me closer to the Lord. It demonstrates my love for the Lord. Reason number three, giving strengthens my faith. These are all reasons why giving is so important, why it should be established early on in the Christian life, because it's foundational. Giving strengthens my faith. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Verse 11 says, here's a promise, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Here is the principle of we are so much better off with 90% and being obedient to the Lord in the tithes and the offerings with God's blessing on our life. God says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He says here that it's not going to destroy the fruit of your ground. And the vine's not going to cast her fruit before the time. God is blessing. God is controlling. Isn't it amazing, though, how there's all kinds of things that just seem to come up. Car breaks down. I need new tires. And I need to repair this on the house. And I've got this medical bill. And all of these things just keep coming up, you know. And we can't ever seem to make ends meet. We can't ever seem to just put it together and gain some ground. Why can't we do that? Well, I wonder what your giving situation is like between you and the Lord. It's amazing how when we trust in the Lord, though, and we're faithful to the Lord and obedient to the Lord, God does just what he says. Man, I need new tires, but I can't really afford it. They look like they're cracked and they're drying and they're about ready to go, but they just keep on going and keep on going until the Lord provides. Giving the way that God gives and the way he wants us to give, you know what? That actually really goes beyond our budgeting and our financial mind and capacity. It requires faith. And it tests whether we really believe God's word or not. The proof is in our action, not in the things that we say. The more that I give, the stronger my faith becomes. And this is so because I discover that I cannot outgive God just like he said. Prove me now herewith and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive it. I have been blessed by people who are givers, and they got a gift. And amazed at sometimes when I see what people give to missions, and it's like, where does that come from? How do they live? How did God just keeps on giving so that they can keep on giving? Right. And they just keep doing it. To God be the glory. And I look at some of that and I'm like, praise the Lord, man, that convicts me. Lord, I need my faith strengthened. Luke 6 and verse 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all shall it be measured to you again. God is always faithful. God is always dependable. God always keeps his word. And when I'm obedient to the Lord and I'm trusting the Lord and I'm walking by faith in this matter of giving, man, it strengthens my faith. It grows my faith. God keeps his promise. And I am better off spiritually, maybe not financially, but I am so much better off than any financial gain. I am better off spiritually and I'm closer to the Lord. My faith has grown. Why is giving so important? Well, my giving demonstrates my love for the Lord. It draws me closer to the Lord. It strengthens my faith. And number four, giving reveals my spiritual maturity. Ouch. This one might sting a little. It reveals my spiritual maturity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, the context of that is Paul talking to the church at Corinth about the gift of money, the offering that they had promised to take up and give for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And they hadn't fulfilled that yet. They hadn't come through on that promise yet. And Paul writes to them, and he's talking about this giving, about in this love offering to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And in the context of that, he's like, look, you abound in everything. You abound in faith, and you abound in utterance, and you abound in knowledge, and you abound in all this diligence. You abound in your love to us, but now make sure you follow through and you abound in this grace of giving also. Ultimately, giving is more about my spiritual maturity than it is about the actual thing that I give. Selah. Pause. Think on it. It's really more about my spiritual maturity, my trust in the Lord, my obedience to God, my willingness to take God at His word, and my willingness to put my whole trust and faith in the Lord and my surrender to God in every area of my life. It's more about my spiritual maturity than it is the actual thing that I give. God doesn't need my measly dollars. He owns it all anyway. And He's Almighty God. So what's it really about then? Our finances are often the last part of our personal life that we will release to the trust of God. I think it's interesting that we exercise faith for salvation. We exercise faith and put our trust in the Lord, my eternal soul. But we can't trust God with our pocketbook so often, or our finances. We hold on to our money, we hold on to our wealth as a form of security. All right, tune in again. We hold on to our money, we hold on to our wealth, we hold on to our things, our resources as a form of security. As long as I have, you know, X numbers of dollars in my checking account, I feel like I'm secure. I feel like it's okay. But giving is an exercise of learning to trust in God, and it reveals to us the truth of our spiritual condition and our spiritual maturity. Constantly struggling with the commands of the Lord in this area, I'm not at trusting in the Lord. That's what it is, the bottom line. This is a command of the Lord. I want to be obedient. God has promised me that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. God has promised me these things in His Word. I am claiming these promises. I'm not certain how, where, and how this is going to come about, but I know that I need to be obedient to the Lord, and I trust in the Lord, and He promised this, and I know that I can fully obey Him, and I know that He'll take care of me, because He's a good God, and He's never failed. Becomes a test, and it reveals to us the truth of our spiritual maturity. These are all reasons why giving is so important. It really is a demonstration of my love for the Lord. There's a way about it that draws me closer to the Lord. It strengthens my faith, and I lean harder on the Lord. It reveals my spiritual maturity. It's something that should be established early on in the Christian life. But then go back to our text in Philippians chapter 4, and we see this second principle, the second thought. Not only should it be established early on, the Philippian church had this principle down. And what you need to understand as well about the church at Philippi, they were not wealthy. In fact, they were in deep poverty. And Lord willing, we'll consider this subject or this thought later. Maybe not this morning, but at another time. that they were able to give and they were able to abound in their giving. They were liberal in their giving in spite of their deep poverty because of the grace of God. They didn't have anything. In fact, their church was started in the midst of great persecution and poverty. And yet, they were able to give according to their measure, and then the Bible says beyond their measure because of the grace of God at work in their life. How were they able to do that in such hard financial times? Because they trusted in the Lord. It was established as a foundation for them early on. But secondly, we see that faithful giving should be focused on the furtherance of the gospel. Back in verse 15, Paul says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Here Paul is preaching the gospel. And he said to the church at Philippi here that in the process or in the ministry of preaching the gospel, that they were communicating with him concerning giving and receiving. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians, he said, "When your faith is increased, I'll be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." Paul's focus was on preaching the gospel. It wasn't on his need for money. And while he genuinely appreciated the gift that the Philippians had gave, Paul was actually more excited about the fact that the gospel was able to move forward because of their giving. And he was more excited about what their gift actually signified as a reflection of their heart for God. And then you get down to verse 17, and he says, "Not because I desire a gift." But what did he desire? He desired fruit that may abound to their account. Now, Paul proved over and over again that having financial gain or supply was not his focus. Because he even says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 18 says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Paul had demonstrated that he lived by faith. He was content with what God had provided. It wasn't that he was speaking in respect of want. His focus was preaching the gospel. He was excited about their heart for God and fruit that would abound to their account. Now let me make this application. When it comes to our giving, when it comes to tithes, what is it for? It's for the ministries of the church. It's so that the church can continue to preach the gospel, which is our purpose, which is our mission, which is our focus. Why do we do that? So that we have the resources and to meet the needs for preaching the gospel when it comes to faith promise giving, missions giving. That's directly to support those who are preaching the gospel. So faithful giving is going to have its focus on the furtherance of the gospel. I'm obedient to the Lord, number one, but I pray, Lord, take this, increase it, multiply it, so that the gospel can move forward. Amen? Number three, faithful giving is an investment into eternity. Go back to our text there. Paul says in verse 17, the second part of verse 17, he says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Paul says, "I'm looking for the profit that increases to your account." Those terms were common accounting words. And Paul is saying that when you give to the Lord's work, you're contributing into your account in the bank of heaven. When we invest in God's work, you know what? There's no risk. There's no risk. And you get the highest possible return on your investment guaranteed by the very word of God. Right. By giving to the work of the Lord, ultimately we are investing in souls for eternity. We labor together in the work of the Lord in this regard, and God is the one who is keeping track. Number four, faithful giving should be motivated by worship. Verse 18. Look at verse 18 in the second part of it. Paul said in the first part that he was full, he abounded, he received the gift that the church at Philippi had sent through Epaphroditus. And then he says, it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to who? To God. Faithful giving should be motivated by our worship to the Lord. Paul calls their giving a fragrant aroma. It was an acceptable sacrifice. It was well-pleasing to God. These terms come out of the Old Testament, where they describe the sacrifices that worshipers offered up to the Lord. But they're also used in the New Testament to describe the Lord's offering, Christ's offering of Himself for our sins. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. These are important words. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." The Lord's sacrifice of himself for our sins was something that was well-pleasing to God. It was a sweet-smelling fragrance in the nostrils of God. And listen, we get the same idea and the same picture with our faithful giving. It's motivated by our worship unto the Lord. And when it's done out of a worshipful heart to God, it's offered up to the Lord as something that is well-pleasing to him. Something that is a sweet smell in his nostrils. It makes God happy. It pleases the Lord. You know, we say that we want to be pleasing to the Lord all the time. Well, the Word of God shows us what kinds of things are pleasing to the Lord. And the point is, look, you're not giving to me, the pastor of the church. You're not giving to the evangelist / missionary, Brother Noah George, Brother Paul Morrison, Brother McDowell, and all the others that we support. You're giving to God Himself. You're giving to God Himself. And the heart attitude with which the Philippians gave, even in their deep poverty, was something that was well-pleasing to God. I would say to you this morning, if Jesus Christ bodily walked into this church, those doors in the back opened up, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself walked into this building, and He picked up an offering plate, and it was time for the offering, and Jesus was the one who walked down the aisle, and we went about our normal routine to take the offering. And here the Lord Himself begins to come and pass by. I wonder how different we would feel about our giving in that very moment. And I wonder how different we would act in that very moment, and how quickly we'd be pulling out the checkbook and all the cash that we have. Because I want to please the Lord, because He's here. Would we give differently than we do now? It's a thought to ponder, isn't it? Do I give gratefully out of a heart of love and worship unto the Lord because He gave Himself for me? So the principle And the principles that we glean are that we are to give faithfully to the Lord's work of furthering the gospel out of a heart of worship to the Lord who gave himself for me. And if I do, man, God promises some things to me. This is where we get to verse 19 of Philippians 4. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lastly and quickly, we'll consider the promise from our faithful God. This is faithful giving and a faithful God. We've considered the principles of faithful giving and why giving is so important. But now let's consider the promise from our faithful God. Verse 19 of our text says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Faithful givers can count on the faithfulness of God to supply. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is the source and the certainty of the promise here of supplying the need? What is the source? Paul says, my God. God is the source. A faithful God is the source. My God, who is our Father. Verse 20, he says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. It is my Father who knows me. It is my Father who loves me. It's my Father who promised to care for me. He is the source of this blessing and also the God of all power at the same time." Which one of you fathers would not provide and care for your own children when there's a need? You'd move all that you had to move to meet the need. How much greater our Heavenly Father, who owns it all, who loves me endlessly. Amen? How can we not trust in the Lord? Well, we can. The very God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the very God who spoke the universe into existence with a word, who promises to supply your need when you give faithfully. That's the God who's the source. The God who cannot lie. He is my God. The God that I know personally. The God who is my Father. The God who has never in human history ever failed any of his children. That God who proved his great love for me by giving of himself. Romans 8 and verse 32 says that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The promise is certain. Our God and Father is going to meet those needs when we faithfully give, and you can count on it. And why? Because the promise depends upon God himself. Otherwise, he's not God. His character is at stake. We can trust him. But then we see the sufficiency of that promise. It says, "My God shall supply all your need." The promise is to supply all the need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a staggering promise that is. Now, that word "according," that's actually very interesting. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's a word that basically holds the meaning of, how do I describe it? It's like in degree. You know, let's say if I give you $1,000, that's a big deal for me, right? It would be a massive deal for me to just give you $1,000. God gives according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. $1,000, let's say, is no big deal, though, to a billionaire. Are you with me here? It's billions of dollars. And he reaches in his pocket and he gives you $1,000. That's not really a big deal to him at all, because he has billions. It would be a much bigger deal in degrees for him to give according to what his riches are. Does that make sense? But God gives according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, unlimited amounts and supply. God gives according to his riches. You understand what I'm saying here by this? It's a big deal. God doesn't just give. God doesn't give just in pence and so on. God gives liberally and continues to give and gives and gives because God is a giver, and he proved it by giving himself. And the sufficiency of the promise is that all of our needs would be supplied. It's a staggering promise. We're not going to lack. This is not a "you're going to be rich" statement. Not at all. If you give to the Lord, that doesn't mean that you're going to have an abundant supply of wealth. That's not what he's talking about, though. But he did promise that all your needs are going to be met. And God knows exactly what they are because he counts the very hairs on your head. There's probably no more accurate gauge of our spiritual life than our giving to the Lord's work. Let me close with this, just a couple questions to ask ourselves by way of application here this morning. Got about 2 minutes left, at least according to my watch anyway. And that's the only one that matters. Some questions to ask ourselves. Number one, do I give only grudgingly or under pressure? Only you know that. When you give, do you give only grudgingly or under pressure? If that's true, then you're not really focused on the abundant grace of God in your life. Question number two, am I hit and miss about giving? Doing it once in a while, but not systematically? If that's true, then it's likely you're not faithful in other areas of your Christian life either. Question number three, am I stingy and tight in my giving? If that's true, then maybe my love for the Lord might be a bit cold. Number four, do I religiously give but take pride in it? In that case, we might be like the Pharisees who are more concerned about their performance of certain duties rather than motivated by a heart of love for the Savior. The reason giving is a pretty good gauge of our spiritual life is that our heart is directly tied to our treasure. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Giving generously, liberally, which is not a certain amount, by the way, it requires faith. Faith because you have to trust that when you give, God is going to do what he said he would do. You know, people have all kinds of fears, all kinds of thoughts that enter in. You know, what if I give and then some unexpected emergency comes up? What if I give and then I promise to give and then I lose my job? And all of those things become the things that make our decisions for us rather than obedience and faith to the Lord. There's a story of a young guy who was struggling with the idea of giving of his income to the church. And he told his pastor that he didn't see how he could do that and keep up with all of his bills. And the pastor said to him one day, he said, "Son, if I promise to make up the difference in your bills if you start to fall short, do you think you could try tithing and missions giving for just 1 month?" After thinking about it for a moment, The young man replied, "Sure, I think I could do that. If you promise to make up any shortage, I guess I could try giving tithing and missions for a month." The pastor looked at him and he responded to him. He says, "Now, what do you think of that? You say that you'd be willing to put your trust in a mere man like myself who possesses so very little materially, but you couldn't trust your heavenly Father who owns the whole universe?" That's really the issue at heart in the matter of faithful giving. Do we really trust the living God who gave his Son for us by giving so generously? Listen, we can give generously, we can give systematically, we can give out of a heart of gratitude, we can give out of a heart of love and a heart of worship unto the Lord. And when we do, he's going to meet those needs according to his glorious riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we step out and we trust the Lord and we're obedient, man, we can watch God's hand of blessing multiply and multiply and multiply. And like Paul said to the church at Corinth, when your faith is increased in your giving, I'm going to be enlarged by you, and the gospel is going to be able to be preached in the regions beyond you. Giving is a great part of missions. Faithful giving, out of a heart of love to the Lord, is a great part of our relationship to God. But when we faithfully give, we've got a faithful God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for principles and truths in your word that challenge us, cause us to think. And Lord, I pray that you'd challenge us again today and cause us to think on this matter, this area of life, this area of giving, this part of missions. And Father, I'm very thankful for a faithful church that gives so generously and for all the missionaries that we support. And Lord, I pray that you would open the door for us to be able to support more good men who are faithfully preaching the gospel in the regions beyond. And Father, we thank you for the two who are coming to be a part of our missions conference in the years of faithfulness that they have demonstrated in the souls that have been won in the kingdom of God that's been increased and the beginnings of churches being planted and established, that the gospel would sound forth from them. And Lord, there's just so much that you're doing. And as Paul said to the church in Philippi, he didn't desire a gift, but he desired fruit that may abound to their account. And in our faithful giving and the gospel moving forward in the regions beyond, Lord, it's an investment into eternity. You are keeping track. Fruit abounds to our account. What a great joy to have a part, as Jesus commanded his church, to going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Lord, increase our faith. Bless our missions conference. Bless your people. Lord, draw us close to you and magnify yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.